Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's Sermon Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks so much for joining us here on this Sunday, November 16th. Glad that you were with us. A few announcements to begin today. One is tonight at 6 o'clock at the church, we have our annual quilt auction and soup supper. It is a fun evening. People bid on quilts that the quilters have made throughout the year. There's about 40 of them. And all the proceeds go to local missions and charities and things like that. It's a really good cause. And so if you'd like to come out, if you're looking for a new blanket or something, they've made some wonderful ones. Also want to let you know, a week from today, on November 23rd, at 7 o'clock at church, is our Thanksgiving service. And so we'll meet downstairs around the tables. We're going to have four different people from our church that are going to be sharing some testimonies of what God has been doing in their life this year to be thankful for. And we're going to have the quartet that's going to sing. We're going to have communion together, some time of worship and prayer. And then we're going to have dessert afterwards together too. So it's a nice evening. It's always the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and so come on out if you have a chance. And then the last announcement I want to mention is our Christmas shoeboxes. They are due next Sunday at church, and so if you took some supplies or you still want to fill one up this week, that's great. Just try to bring them back filled with that label on there, whether it's a boy or a girl and what age. And then I think you attach a few dollars that go for towards shipping. But fill those out, bring those in, and we will get them to where they need to go. And then they'll get in the hands of a child by Christmas this year. So thank you for being willing to do that. All right, if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25 today. Matthew 1. 18 to 25. This is our final week on the series on the names of God. This is our 14th name from Scripture that we've been studying about who God is. And so the one we're going to look at today is Jesus. All right, so Matthew 1, 18 to 25, it says this. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, that the virgin will conceive, give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. And he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So yeah, today we end our sermon series here on the names of God, and we end it with the name that is above every other name, Jesus. I wanted to do this sermon series this fall because God has revealed himself to us in many different ways throughout Scripture, and I wanted us to learn more about all that God is, that we might have a bigger picture of him, this amazing and wonderful God whom we believe in and serve. He is so much more than at times what we think about. There's only one God, but he has revealed himself to us in many different ways in the Scriptures. He is, for example, our creator. He is our father. He is our shepherd. He is El Shaddai, the almighty one who parts the sea for us. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider who daily gives us what we need. He's El Olam, the eternal one who always was and is to come. He is Adonai, our Lord and our true king. He is El Rohi, the God who sees me. He is Jehovah Rapha, the God who can heal, and on and on. Throughout the pages of the Bible, we learn more and more about the one true God, that we might know him as he is and worship him and love him and obey him and trust him. Throughout our life, we'll go through different seasons in it where we might come to see one more than another of these truths of who God is. Well, the name Jesus is, for me, the most endearing and meaningful of all the names of God. Maybe it's the name, too, for you that you have the most deepest connection to. I think there's no sweeter name. We have a family video where about 20 years ago now, I'm holding my daughter, Aria. She's only 2 years old in the video, and I'm standing in front of the church in Canada that we served in, and I think it's Christmas Eve. And I had carried Aria up with me for the welcome, and I'm holding her in my arms, you know, greeting people, and I've got the microphone. And then I put it in front of her as she opens our service by singing, "Jesus Loves Me." And it's a cute video because she had learned that song and she wanted to sing it. But when she got to the part, "Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me," she kind of just got stuck on that part like a skipping record. I don't think she remembered how to finish the song, "For the Bible tells me so." So she just kept repeating the line, "Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes," and on for a long time. And I didn't stop her because it was cute and because I realized it was a beautiful line to get stuck on, that yes, Jesus loves me. There is nothing more powerful or certain or forever than the love of God that is for us in Jesus Christ. God does love you and me. And how can we know this for sure? Because the Bible tells us so. And because of Jesus. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. The Bible says this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for each other. God showed his love in many different ways throughout the Bible, but never had the love of God been more revealed than in Jesus. Listen to what 1 John 4:7-11 says. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." This is how God showed us the depths of his love. Jesus. Today, I want to look deeper at that name and all that it teaches us about who God is. And just to be upfront, I'm going to focus this sermon on three important truths about what God has revealed to us in Jesus and what his name means, and how when we say the name of Jesus or call on the name of Jesus, what we're really saying we believe about who he is and what he has done. And so the first thing we need to know about the name of Jesus is that it is a name of God. Jesus is God. The first time we read his name Jesus is found in our scripture for today in Matthew chapter 1. And I know this is a scripture that we often read at Christmas, and I know it's a little early, but believe it or not, Advent only starts in 2 weeks. In fact, after church next Sunday, this whole church is going to be decorated so that it's ready for Advent on November 30th. So it's really not too soon. But I read this scripture because it's the first time we hear the name Jesus. And notice it's spoken by an angel. Mary and Joseph did not choose the name Jesus because it wasn't just a name like Dan and Carrie or Aria or Matthew. It wasn't just a name because it wasn't just any child. It was God himself come down to earth, taking on flesh to save us, born of a virgin, the Son of God. The name Jesus in the Hebrew is pronounced Yeshua, and that's how it would have sounded if we would have lived in Bible times around Galilee or Jerusalem and heard people talking about him in their own language. We would have heard them call Jesus Yeshua. It is Hebrew, and Yeh is the abbreviated form of Yahweh, and Shua means will save. So Yeshua is Hebrew for Yahweh will save. This is the name Jesus. This is what it means. When the Bible translated it into Latin, the Y's were replaced by J's, and that's why instead of Yeshua, we pronounce it Jesus today. The Y's are replaced by J's. Just like I said before with the name Yahweh and Jehovah, they're the same name, one just in the Hebrew and the other in Latin. So too, Yeshua is the Hebrew pronunciation of Jesus. Why am I stressing this? It's not because I think we should start using the name Yeshua. I don't think that matters. He answers to Jesus. But I'm stressing it because I want us to hear that within his actual given name is the name Yahweh. His name literally is Yahweh will save. Jesus is God. He is not lesser than God, but one with. He is Yahweh come down in the flesh to save us. In our sermon series on the names of God, we learned about Yahweh way back in the early weeks when we looked at the story of Moses and how God came to Moses a long time ago and said, I've seen the suffering of my people in Egypt and I've come down to rescue them out of the hands of their oppressors. In that Old Testament story, Moses asked God, what is your name? When the people of Israel ask me who sent me, what should I say to them? And then God spoke to Moses. He said, tell them, I am who I am has sent me. And the word for that was Yahweh. It's the personal name of God revealed by God, who he uniquely revealed himself to be to his unique people, Israel. Israel became known as the people who worshiped Yahweh. And they never saw him physically, but in the giving of the law, or the pillar of fire at night, or the cloud by day, or the glow left on the face of Moses after he had talked with him, or in the miracles and protection that he gave over their enemies, that is how they saw Yahweh. But then comes Jesus in our story. And we read in John 1:14 how the word literally became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth, it says. So think about that. In the face of Jesus, they were now able to look upon the face of God. Hebrews 1:3 says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. And Colossians 1:15 says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. The exact representation, all his fullness. Jesus told his disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus is Yahweh, come in the flesh, down to save you and me. And think about the story of Moses again, where God said, I've heard my people crying out in slavery. I've come down to rescue them. Come down, in Moses' context, meant, I'm here now with you, Moses, and I'm going to be with you, Moses, as you go to speak to Pharaoh and lead these people out. I'm going to be helping you. I'm going to be speaking through you. I'm going to be working through you. I'm going to perform miracles and signs and deliver my people out. And so, in a small way, God came down back then, but not in the flesh, not like he does with Jesus. Moses was not God, but Jesus was. Jesus is different. God came in this greater way. He came in person. I've really come to see that all the Old Testament stories really point to what God's going to do in an even greater way in Jesus. Same with this one. God would come down to rescue his people again, this time not from slavery of human oppression, but he would come down to save them, to save us from our sins and death. And not just come down in the way of working through someone else like Moses or David, but this time, again, in person, in Christ, he would come himself in the flesh, born of a virgin. Jesus is God. That is what our scripture for this morning in Matthew is saying. This is what Christmas is really all about, that God came down, born to Mary, without an earthly father, but by the Holy Spirit. That is why he's uniquely called Emmanuel. So the first thing we learn about the name of Jesus is that he is God. When you say you believe in Jesus, you're saying you believe that Jesus is God. Folks, this is what separates us from all other religions. We don't just believe in a spiritual guru like Buddha, or a human leader, Muhammad, or in some written law and traditions like the Jews. We put our faith in Jesus Christ. And we don't believe that Jesus was just some good teacher, or prophet, or guy who lived long ago. We believe Jesus is God, come down in the flesh that we might know him and be saved. We believe that if you read the Gospels about what Jesus said and did while he was on earth, how he treated people and the truth that he proclaims, written in red in our Bibles, in his sermons, we are seeing and we are hearing from God revealed to us in Christ in the way that he talked to people and lived his life. He's our one true example. We who were lost in darkness, lost in ignorance, did not know God, were far away from God. He came, you see, to save us, that we might now know him, see him. We have seen the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This truth about Jesus is why the Pharisees, teachers of the law, and high priests wanted to kill Jesus on the cross. It was because he claimed to be God. One with God. They didn't believe, but he was. We believe it because of the miracles and because of the resurrection and because of all the prophecies that we believe it because we have faith and he has proven himself to us over and over. Jesus is God. The second thing revealed within the name Jesus is why he came. He came to save. Yeshua. Shua means to save. Jesus came to save us. The angel tells Joseph in our scripture, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus came, number one reason, to save us from our sins. There is a lie going around in some Christian circles these days, some churches, that Jesus did not come to save us from our sins, and that we should stop talking so much about sin and death and God's wrath and repentance because it's only making people feel bad about themselves, and God loves you just the way you are. There's nothing wrong with you. Just be a nicer person. But that is a lie. God does love you 100%. He couldn't love you anymore. But we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages, the consequence of that sin in our life is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus came because we needed saving. Jesus came to save us from our sins. Yes, he cares about the poor and he cares about the injustices in the world and he wants us as a church to go out and to love and to help other people and to stand up for what is right and to do good. Yes, all of that, of course, it definitely does. But first and most of all, he came to save you from your sins. I have broken God's commands more than I know. And though the world tells me this is no big deal, there's not really a God who's going to judge you in the end. The Bible says there is. And that breaking those commands is a very big deal. And I am not God. He is God. I don't make the rules. He makes the rules, and his law that he has given to us reveals the sin in my heart and my sinful nature. Jesus said, therefore, in Matthew 5:3, the very first beatitude, he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." And poor in spirit means humble of heart, broken over your sin, ready to seek God for his salvation and desire to live a holy life in him, knowing that we can't by ourselves, but because of Jesus, we have hope, that we are forgiven of our sins and we know the way. The poor in spirit are the humble who admit their sin and receive the gift of Jesus given to them on the cross. They are the ones who are not proud and not closed. They're the ones who will see eternity. Sin is not just the really bad stuff I see in the world or in other people. Sin is in me. Sin has corrupted my heart. It's in my pride and greed and lust and hate and rebellion against God. It's in me. It's in everyone. Like a cancer, sin has pulled me away from God and has blinded me to who God is and who I am and what life was meant to look like and what is good and right and holy. In my sin, I have perverted life. And I think of myself more than others. And I make myself out to be God. And I think that I know better than God. And I think that life revolves around me. But I am not God. I am created by him and for him. And I get to live in his world. And I exist to worship and serve and obey and love God. You see, Jesus came to save me. To put my life back in the right place. To restore me back to God and to who I really am. He came to save me from my sins, for I was lost, but in him I'm now found. I was blind, but now I can see. I was dead, but in him I live. The Bible says that God loves me more than I can ever know. But God hates sin because sin is destroying me and you in this world. We are in slavery, and many times we don't even see it. Sin has separated us from God, blinded us and leading down a path to hell. And it has caused so much pain. In my sin, I have caused pain. But Jesus came to save me from my sins. The Bible says he came to be the atoning sacrifice for my sins. He came to give his life once and for all on that cross to save me from my sins. He did it by his blood. He is called the Lamb of God. He came to wash me clean and to declare this wretched man righteous and to put a new spirit in me that I would no longer be a slave to sin, but a child of God. Jesus came to do this. He came to save me from my sins. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. For God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And then Romans 10:9 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it says with your heart you believe and are justified, and with your mouth you profess your faith and are saved." Anyone and everyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there's no difference, the scripture says, between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How are we saved? By calling on the name of the Lord Jesus. By believing in his name, that he is God, that he is our Lord. He came and died for our sins and rose on the third day that we might have everlasting life. We are saved by grace through faith in him alone. John 3:16 famously says, "For God so loved the world, he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will no longer perish but have everlasting life." And then the very next verse, it says this, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 53, one of my favorite chapters. It pointed to Jesus and what he would come to do. Isaiah was written long before the cross, but it spoke about his coming sacrifice. In Isaiah 53, it says, he would be pierced for our transgressions. He would be crushed for our iniquities. And by his wounds, we are healed. It says he would be led like a lamb to the slaughter, assigned a grave with the wicked, even though no violence or deceit would be upon his mouth. And it says, and it would be the Lord's will to crush him, for the Lord would make his life an offering for sin. But then it says, but he will see the light of life once again, and by his life he will justify many. In true biblical Christianity, God's love is most profoundly seen through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, who has provided a way for all of us to be forgiven and reconciled to God through faith, not by works, so that no one can boast. It is pure gift of God to everyone who believes in him. 1 John 4:10, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Hebrews 10:10 says, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. He has made me holy. My good deeds didn't do that. My obedience, you know, my being a pastor didn't do any of that. But his sacrifice has made me holy. I am saved only by the blood of Jesus. It goes on to say, therefore, we can have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by this new and living way that has been opened for us. So let us draw near to God. Think about that. Let us draw near to God. But it says, through the blood of Christ, I'm able to draw near to God with a sincere heart, full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Salvation is what Jesus does, not what I do. My faith is in him alone. Jesus is God, and he came to save me from my sins. 1 John 1:8 and 9 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 2:2 says, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only ours, but also the sins of the whole world. So you see, within the name Jesus, we learn two things, that he is Yahweh come in the flesh, and second, that he is our Savior, Redeemer, our righteousness, the reason for our forgiveness, our justification before a holy God, our eternal hope, and the rescuer of our life. Third, the final thing and last thing I want to say about the name Jesus is how it does mean love. The name Jesus is love. Just like my daughter saying, Jesus loves me, this I know. It's in his name. Her two-year heart, old heart, already knew it, already felt it. Like a child, we come before God and believe in him. That God loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. He loves me, not because I'm lovable, but because he is. And how can I know for sure that God loves me? Jesus. You can't talk about Jesus without talking about God's love. 1 John 3:16 says, this is how we even know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for one another. 1 John 4:10, this is how God showed his love. He sent his son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And then he says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. In both verses, you know, it says God loved us, so we ought to love one another. Jesus died for us, so we should now lay down our lives for each other. The Bible says we love because he first loved us. God's love came first. This is grace. He loved us before we even knew him, before we were born, before we did anything right. He loved us and sent his son. But we who have now received him by faith into our hearts are now commanded by him to show the same kind of love now to other people. We who have received are called to give, and Jesus shows us how. Jesus didn't just hang out with good people of the world, the righteous, but he spent time with sinners like us. He ate with tax collectors and prostitutes and talked with Samaritans. the people others didn't associate with, Jesus did. He loved them by even just being around them, welcoming them, never condoning their sinful behavior. But these were the people he hung out with, because these are the people he came to save. He wanted none to perish, but all to come to repentance and salvation. And he didn't just love them with words, but with actions. He not only gave his life for them, but he loved the hungry by feeding them. He loved the sick by caring for them. He loved the lost by teaching truth. He loved the enemies of his by praying for them and not cursing them. And on the cross, even saying, "Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing." Jesus didn't just tell us to love. He showed us how. And he said, "This is the greatest commandment of all, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself." Love is the way of Jesus. It's in his name. On the night before Jesus went to the cross at the Last Supper, Jesus washed his disciples' feet, and then he called them to go and do likewise, to be a servant. And then he said in John 13:34, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I've loved you, you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another." This is Jesus' final teaching. We who have been saved by the love and grace of God are expected to extend the same love and grace to other people, to live like Jesus. 1 Corinthians 13 mentions a whole lot of things we could do for God, but it says without love behind them, it's not going to matter. All our charity and truth-telling, all our faith even, will be lost or come just out like a resounding gong or clanging cymbal without love. Love is the way of Jesus. The Bible warns us that in the last days, the love of many is going to grow cold. Pray that you don't. Pray that you don't leak love, that you don't lose compassion over time, that you don't turn bitter in these days or in the situations that you face. Pray that you don't become so self-centered or proud, but you remain Christ-centered and remain tender and humble, that his love would be in your heart for this world. I love 1 John 4 so much. I spent a lot of time with it this week. But it says, "Dear friends, let us love one another because love comes from God. And everyone who's been born of God knows God, for God is love." That really hit me. Love comes from God. It doesn't come from something inside of me or just some spark between us or some circumstance or feeling that I feel. No, love, real love, comes from God. And we receive it in Christ when by faith we invite the Lord into our hearts and we abide in him every day and focus more on him instead of what the other one did. To love them, we're going to need Christ. But his love will be there for us if we focus on him. So just don't close yourself off from the Lord, because the fruit of the Spirit is love. And it's not just some worldly kind of love, but the kind of love that serves the other without thinking what's in it for me. The kind of love that's willing to forgive and be generous and lay down your life for someone else, like Jesus laid down his for us. That kind of love that wants to obey God and honor and serve him because you love him. In Jesus, we have this kind of love if we don't turn away or allow our heart to go cold. We rely on the love of God every day. It is Christ in me that is the hope of my salvation. I can do nothing, but in him I can do all things. I got a sweatshirt someone gave me that says, "I can't, but I know a guy." And that's my whole faith. I can't, but I know Jesus can. And Jesus did. And Jesus still does for me every day. 1 John 3:23, and this is the command: to believe in the name of his son Jesus and to love one another. Have a wonderful Sunday.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.